the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman, live at Bridgestone Arena, Preds and Ottawa tonight, right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Vanderbilt hired a new athletic director, which he has no experience in college sports, but that's neither here nor there. But Mike Vrabel does not say much. Floyd, can we agree on that?
He's pretty tight to the vest.
Okay. Vrabel doesn't say much, and you are not sold on Mariota. You say jury's still out for Marcus.
I don't, yeah. I mean, it's not that you're not sold. It's that you just don't know.
You think John feels that way and Mike feels that way?
Oh, I have no idea what they think.
So I think Mike might have tipped his hand yesterday on Monday Night Live on News 2 with Mike Keith. You know, I think we can all agree that he probably likes Mike Keith a lot more than he likes, you know, the media as a whole, which, quite frankly, I like Mike Keith a lot more than I like the media as a whole. And I'm sure when you were GM, you liked Mike Keith and talking to Mike Keith and felt more comfortable with Mike Keith than you did the media as a whole.
Oh, Mike's a good guy.
Exactly.
Really good guy.
So Vrabel on the coach's show was, they had an interview with Mariota. And then they kind of talked about Mariota afterwards. And listen to what Vrabel says about him when they go back to Mike and Mike.
Talking with the quarterback, Marcus Mariota, people ask all the time, they say, is he really always that calm?
Is it too good to be true? Right.
He really is that calm, and he really is that good a guy.
He's probably a better guy than he is a quarterback, and we know that he's a great quarterback. And his parents, you know, did right raising him. His family, we're lucky to have him.
Ooh, it sounds like he's about to give him a merit badge for the Boy Scouts or something when talking like that. And then Mike Keith followed up by asking Vrabel what has impressed him most about Marcus. Now, before we play the clip, I just want to know that if I were to ask Vrabel what impresses you most about Marcus, he would talk about how, well, he's impressed by everybody, and somehow, some way, this would get turned into some story about how impressed he is by Aaron Stinney, the guard, who they never leave active, because that's what Vrabel does. He doesn't like to talk about individual players. He was asked by Mike Keith what has impressed him the most about Mariota.
What has impressed you the most about having a chance to work with Marcus Mariota?
You know, really just his demeanor. And I think that I've come to appreciate that everybody may have a different personality, but we respect everybody, and that You can be quiet and you can be calm, but you can be a ferocious competitor and a good leader without having to say a whole lot or be loud or boisterous or just anything else that, you know, may get labeled as that guy's not a leader or we don't hear much from him. I think that his composure has certainly been something that I've come to respect and really value.
I mean, he is just wailing on compliments for Mariota. And I wonder if Mike last night maybe tipped his hand a little bit, that he believes in him like I believe in him, that he believes he is the franchise quarterback of the Tennessee Titans like I believe he's the franchise quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. I mean, you should have seen the glow in Vrabel's eyes yesterday talking about Mariota and how much he loves Mariota. I'm telling you, Floyd, I think he might have tipped his hand a little bit that Vrabel, now Vrabel's opinion does matter a lot more than any of ours, but it is not the deciding opinion. We know who is the deciding opinion, and that guy never says anything about anything. I mean, maybe Vrabel loves Mariota and wants him to be the franchise quarterback, because that's the impression I got yesterday.
You are easily impressed. I didn't hear him say one word about football.
Well, then he went to the toughness. Ian, if we can get the toughness on Mariota.
Does that have anything to do with football?
Is being tough part of football?
For some guys.
Okay, Vrabel lavished even more praise on Mariota.
He doesn't try to impress anybody as a tough guy, but he is a tough guy.
Well, he is tough. He's competitive, and I've seen, you know, some of the shots that he's taken, kind of what he's been able to play through at this point in the season. Nobody's 100% healthy, and that would include Marcus, but he is able to compete and battle through, and it hasn't been a great year. I mean, he's suffered some different things and some ups and downs with the injury and getting hit in the elbow and different things. So he's a competitor, and we're glad we have him.
Those are all football things. We're glad we have him. I am so glad I have him. That
you
is
would say
right
the
there.
Same thing about a marathon runner. Exactly the same thing. He's a marathon runner. Yeah, he's tough. He can go out there, and on that 25th mile, when he's really, really hurting, he can suck it up and he can go. I mean,
you wouldn't say that about Chris Brown, the running back.
I'll say this. Not all of that's good. I mean, I think all of that's positive. I mean, but you know what? If you never saw Marcus take a snap, but you just knew Marcus, you would say that about Marcus. Great guy, better human being than he is, whatever he's working at. Great leader, quiet, composed.
But Vrabel's not going to say on the TV show, he's not going to say, when Mike Keith asks him, you know, what have you been impressed the most about? You know, I'm really impressed that when the other team brings a safety down into the box, we can hook a receiver to the other side, and Mariota doesn't even have to communicate with the receiver. He can just look and stare into his eyes, and telepathically, the receiver then knows to go behind the guy, and Marcus can put the ball 10 yards in the spot where he's not going to say that on the coach's show.
No, but he could say something like, you know what, I've really been impressed. His accuracy has really improved. His arm strength is good. He's thrown the long ball. I'm really happy with that. We all know he's a really good runner, and he's good in the – all of those are football things. I didn't hear any of that. Nothing. So, I mean, it sounds like I'm being negative on Marcus, and I'm not. It's just always interesting when you hear things – you hear totally different things than I hear when I hear things. That's like, you know, I think about politics, and you say, okay,
be
here's
careful
a
with
sentence.
What you're about to say.
No, here's a sentence. Very simple. 10-word sentence. You hear a Democrat talk about it, and you hear a Republican talk about it.
Oh, God.
Completely different.
I mean, you're saying it's 10 words. You put the channel now on TV, and it's a totally different story. I agree.
How can you be so far apart?
My sense is Vrabel – see, my thing with Vrabel is he never really likes to give praise to the players publicly because he doesn't like to talk about individuals.
Yeah.
Because Belichick does not like to talk publicly about individuals.
Right.
Now, after a guy retires or something like that, Belichick will lavish praise on that guy 8 ways to Sunday. But Vrabel doesn't like to do that. And so for Vrabel to kind of – go along and kind of pump Mariota up there as an individual, I was stunned by yesterday because he's never really done that as coach of the Titans. And he's never really done that with Marcus. And I always kind of got the sense that he didn't love Marcus as much as I wanted the coach of the Titans to love Marcus, as much as the last coach of the Titans loved Marcus. I mean, we've talked about this. Mike Mularkey, like, if he had to pick between his own kids or Mariota, like, that would be very difficult
tough
for
choice.
Him to, you know, he would. But with Vrabel, I never got that sense. And last night when I saw that on the coach's show, that was the first time that I ever felt like, here's a Vrabel going to bat on behalf of Mariota. And we had not seen that out of him before. And I wonder if the last 2 games or the last month or whatever, I wonder if that has changed his mind about the quarterback.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it could have. Certainly could have. I don't know that it has. I don't know what – I mean, I have never gotten the feeling he's ever been anything but completely supportive of Marcus.
Even that, the Colt game where Marcus wanted to go back in and he said no?
Through the whole thing. Now, maybe to a fault, maybe in a game like that where, you know, after the first time he asked him and he said he was fine, he said, whoa, wait a minute, now I've been here, done that. So, you know, let's hold off. But I have never heard him say, I've never seen indications, I've never – you know, anything. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt but that they're very, very supportive of Marcus.
But there is doubt as to whether or not they feel like he's the franchise quarterback. To me, there's two people that matter in this equation, John and Mike. And John's opinion is what, 75%? And Mike's is probably 25% in terms of what matters of the 100%? but I've never got, I mean, John has never said anything except positive stuff about Mariota, but in the most blatant forms of GM speak.
Well, you can't, here's the problem they run into. You can't allow this to be an emotional decision. I mean, this is
It'd be like me coaching the Titans.
This is this is a big money future of the franchise, maybe your future as a coach or a GM.
Oh, I don't think there is
decision.
A maybe on that.
So I mean, it's not like you can say, okay, you know, we'll get the next one right. I mean, you may not have a chance to get the next one right. There may not be a next one to get right. And even though you want to draft a quarterback, because you draft a quarterback in the first round, does not mean he can play. And we've seen that time and time again. So, I mean, it's a very, very tough decision for them. And everything they do, they're trying to find an answer. You know, they're trying to find, is this a big enough negative or a big enough positive to get him over the hump or, you know, keep him from getting there?
So let's take your phone, 615-737-1025. What do we think about Vrabel being positive about an individual, and in this case, it being Marcus, last night on the Coach's Show? We'll take your call, 615-737-1025. And what if Floyd was the general manager of the Titans? And what if Vrabel really did believe Mariota was the franchise quarterback of the Titans? How would that affect you in you deciding if he's the franchise quarterback of the Titans? We'll get to that coming up next, plus your phones, of course. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I have got a big group of people coming over, and I have got to get catering done and get it all taken care of. So guess who I'm calling, Floyd?
Chick-fil-A.
No, I am not. I'm calling my friends at Chewy's. That's because Chewy's is fantastic, and they know Tex-Mex, and my friends love Tex-Mex, so they're going to love when we order from Chewy's. And we're going to order. I've got the catering menu right in front of me right now. Going to get the rice and the beans and the tortillas and the fajita bar and the nacho bar, and I'm going to get all those sauces like the Tex-Mex sauce, the ranchero sauce, the Boom Boom sauce, all of it, enchiladas, burritos, etc., and it's going to be with Chewy's. And they've got four area locations. Chewy's knows Tex-Mex. That's right. Whatever you're looking for, they've got it, and it's all made from scratch, and it is all incredible. And that's why whenever I go out for Tex-Mex, I love going to Chewy's because, again, they know Tex-Mex. Chewy's has four area locations. And a reminder, if you buy a $50 gift card from my friends at Chewy's, you'll get $5 back in Chewy dough. That's how that's going to work. Chewy's, they've got four area locations. Again, we love Chewy's. All my friends, I bet, are going to love it when I have them over, and I've got Chewy's doing the catering. That's how much I love Chewy's, and I hope my friends love Chewy's as much as I do, and I'm going to guess they probably will. That's Chewy's four area locations for your area Middle Tennessee Chewy's. Jared and the GM are live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game National app.
It seems like an incredibly resilient group. Where does that come from? Where does that start?
Well, it starts with the coaching staff. I think Coach Vrabel laid it out when he first got here. He wants tough guys that are dedicated to this team. And from there, it just kind of trickled down to everybody in the locker room, and guys buy into it, and you're able to really build a team around that.
The love fest between Mariota and Vrabel last night on the Coach's Show, you know, hitting the nth degree. So, Floyd Reese, I'm going to ask you this as your friend.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm going to ask you this. Let's say that Vrabel does believe Mariota is the future of the Titans franchise at the quarterback position based upon Vrabel's love of Mariota yesterday on the Coach's Show. Ian, if we can get one of those clips from Vrabel in which he expresses how much he loves Mariota, this, again, goes to show that for the first time, Vrabel kind of tipped his hand about Mariota. Vrabel last night on Monday Night Live,
talking with the quarterback, Marcus Mariota. People ask all the time, they say, is he really always that
is
calm?
Is it too good to be true, right?
He really is that calm, and he really is that good a guy.
He's probably a better guy than he is a quarterback, and we know that he's a great quarterback, and his parents, you know, did right raising him, his family. We're lucky to have him.
Okay, let's say that Vrabel thinks Mariota's the future of the franchise. He loves Mariota as much as I love Mariota. He's the head coach, and he goes up to you and says, Floyd, I love this guy. I think he's our future. I think we can win with him, etc. How much does that play a role in you saying, okay, I'll give him the money. I'll give him the contract. I'll give him the big deal because the head coach likes him? What kind of role does that play for you?
Well, it certainly plays a role. I mean, that's a giant factor. I don't think it's the determining factor, but it is a giant plus or negative. Generally speaking, in spite of what a lot of people want to make it out to be, I mean, the number of times that a coach and a GM agree on things is probably, 85% of the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the time, as a GM, it's your job to bring in guys that he's going to like, that he can coach, that he, can stand by and all that kind of stuff. And I think that if you do that, then, you eliminate a bunch of those problems. So most of the time they'll be on the same page and understand it. And if he likes them, sure, it's a giant factor.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Josh is up next on Mariota and Vrabel. Thank you for calling. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. Just want to say, when Vrabel was hired, I mean, the first thing he said was the number one most important thing for him was his relationship with Marcus. So I think he understands the value of the quarterback-coach relationship. He's seen it, with Belichick and Brady. So he understands how important the quarterback is. But, I mean, of course he's going to say all those things. Marcus is a good guy and all that. But the bottom line is, if he's barely getting into double-digit touchdowns for an entire season and has the nagging injuries that really makes it difficult to coach around because you never know exactly what percentage of the quarterback you're going to get from week to week, it makes it hard to develop game plans. So at the end, and on J-Rob's side, he's going to have to start keeping a second quarterback and third quarterback on the team. So it kind of makes the coaching staff and the GM's job a little harder when you have a guy that doesn't throw touchdowns, turns the ball over. I mean, yeah, he's tough, fourth quarter guy, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's like every other week that's the case. So, he's going to say that, and that he's going to say it about, another quarterback if they bring another guy in. So he understands the value of the relationship. So that's all I got to say.
So my part on that one, thank you, Josh, is that he has been given opportunities to praise Mariota, especially as of late, and really hasn't done it that much. And so that's why I was a little surprised that he did it this time, more so than anything else, because he just hasn't done it. It's like, Marcus is a great guy. What do you and here it was, he's a better guy than he is a quarterback, and we think he's a great quarterback. Normally that would be, well, we have a lot of great guys on our team, and we try to bring in great guys, and everybody's a great guy. I mean, we try to make sure the janitors are great guys here in the building because, that's something that we value in being a good
Titan player.
Well,
I think, too, it depends on this conversation is just isolated on one guy. I mean, the show, the interview, the everything.
I know, but if they were to ask him at a press conference.
That's the difference, though. At a press conference, you're talking about everybody. I think that's the difference. One question is going to be about tackle, and then they're going to ask you about Smith and his knee, and then about Jack and his knee, and, then they go to Marcus, and then, it bounces around, which I think lends itself to, being really, really general and vague and, not telling you anything.
Oh, you should have seen the Derrick Henry interview on the coach's show yesterday. It was literally just, I have to give a lot of credit to all the linemen for blocking. The tight ends, the wide receivers did a good job blocking, and we did it as a team, and that was good, but now we got to get focused on the Giants. Derek, take us through. Mike Keith is trying. I mean, he is trying. It's like, Derek, what did you see with the – that was last week, though. We're just getting ready for the Giants this week, and we got to do everything, and the guys up front did a great job, and the tight ends, and oh, my God, would have made you and Nick Saban and Vrabel
everybody
very proud. Saban would have loved
it. You can tell the guys that have been through the program.
Oh, man. And I'm telling you, and Mike Keith is doing this with him, and Mike Keith's got a big smile on his face, and I can just see on Mike's forehead, well, that's 3 minutes. Let's go to Cedric, who's up next here on Mariota. What's up, Cedric?
Hey, Jared, so what is the Titans' ultimate goal for the rest of this season?
Win the Super Bowl.
Right. So what is Vrabel supposed to say about a dude who's playing quarterback whose heart pumps Kool-Aid? He has got to bring confidence to this guy. That's why he gets up there, has his big love fest for our quarterback, hoping that he can make him the leader that we need him to be to go win the Super Bowl. That's why he did it.
I see, but then I go back to, why wasn't he doing that 2 months ago at the press conferences? Why wasn't he, you know, after a bad game, getting out of there saying, hey, we know Marcus is a great quarterback. We know Marcus. Why wasn't he doing that then? You know, that would be the time to do it. I remember Mike Mularkey's first game as full-time head coach of the Titans. They lost to the Vikings in the season opener. Sean Hill was the starting quarterback for the Vikings in that game. And the Titans lost that game. And I remember they went for two because they were down by 11. And so they scored, or they went for two, or they were down by 15 and they went for two. Something in which they had to have eight at some point. And they went for two. And I don't think they got it. And Mularkey was asked a question about it or something. And Mularkey said something along the lines of, hey, we know anytime that we've got a chance to win the game with number eight, we're going to do it. And this was the beginning of Marcus's second year. And I remember when he said it, and I was like, okay, Mike, he's not Aaron Rodgers. Like, calm down. Like, he's not one of those guys. I mean, I think Marcus is a good quarterback, but he's not that. And that was 2 years ago. And there was Mularkey kind of getting out in front of it saying, hey, we as a team know anytime number eight's got the ball, we've got a chance. And I was kind of like, I'm like, man, he's really going to go to toe for his quarterback. Vrabel's never done that this year. Not that he did that there with Mike Keith earlier on the coaches show, but Vrabel's never done that. And that's why I guess I was kind of stunned by him being as positive about Marcus as he was.
Well, he's, I don't think he's ever done that about anybody, has he? I mean, I can't remember anybody that he's gone over, you know, where selected separated out individually and really, really commended him or,
you know,
or ripped him, either way.
Well, he has done that with some guys who have made mistakes and then they come back and make a big play. Like after the Cowboys game, when Jennings made that huge catch on third down and he talked about how Jennings made the mistake in the Eagles game, but that he told Jennings that Jennings was going to have to make a play to help the team later and to keep working and stay focused. And Jennings did that, and that he was happy that Jennings was able to produce. You know, like he's done that. But, you know, he wasn't really overly positive after the game the other night about Derrick Henry.
No.
And he really hasn't done that. But when a guy is doing poorly, that would be where you would expect the coach to get out there. It's easy when everybody's doing well to really not say anything, but I don't know. You know, I just never heard him be so positive about Mariota, and I heard it right there. So we'll take more of your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 here on Jared and the GM. And coming up next, last night, a very cautionary tale. I have a message for the Marcus haters. So, Floyd, I'm going to need you to listen because you may be president of the Marcus Hater Association. Or at least, you know, the Marcus Haters Association endorses you. They would never endorse me because, I believe in Mariota. There may be a cautionary tale about Marcus I want to get to for the Marcus haters. So we'll do that next. Jared and the GM, hey, be sure to join us on Sunday. That's right. We'll be live at Nashville Underground downtown on Broadway this Sunday, 9:30 to 11:30 for the pregame show featuring Jared and the GM and Chris Sanders. The pregame show, 9:30 to 11:30 at Nashville Underground, brought to you by Boda Box Wine, Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet, your Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and Tate Granite, a division of Tate Ornamental. Jared and the GM are on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Cousins is only one of his last seven. Pressure ball is out and scooped up as Seattle's Justin Coleman on the return, and he's going to score with it.
And if you're Kirk Cousins, you got to let the ball go. But the ability for this Seahawks defense to just keep coming.
That was last night of the Monday Night Football game. Cousins stunk up the joint.
That may have been DeFilippo's swan song right there. That fumble.
Well, they were going to lose anyways. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but that's something that, you know, looks so bad, is so bad. Fumble for touchdown.
But the game was already over.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's still, I mean, I think it's the difference between going ahead and just, you know, losing and having no problems and then losing and quarterback fumbling away
and
touchdowns.
Having problems.
Yeah.
So this is the cautionary tale. Is everybody out there, the Marcus Haters Association, which you are the president of, Floyd Reese. Ian, is that fair to say Floyd is the has been endorsed fully by the Marcus Haters Society of America?
Pretty fair.
Yep. And, you know, for those people out there that want to draft a quarterback in the first round or move on from Mariota or it's time or it's – well, how do you like your $84 million guaranteed quarterback today, Minnesota?
Was it 84 or 87?
I thought it was 84. Maybe it's 87.
You might be right. I don't know.
The $3 million isn't completely negligible in this case.
Yeah, when you get to 80, it doesn't matter.
At that point, like, even for him, like, if he gets his checks, like, wait a minute, I thought I was getting 84. Now you're getting 87. Okay, that's fine. Like, I mean, Cousins has been a disaster. That Minnesota team has a great defense. They have Thielen. They have Diggs. They have Rudolph. They have good players. And they're a disaster.
Yeah,
and for everybody out there that wants to look at Mariota, he's not a disaster. You know, he is not. He is growing. He's a young quarterback. He's in a new offense. Look at Cousins. They just got the offensive coordinator fired there. Like, what's that tell you?
Well, I think that you got to remember that Minnesota team was on its way to the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, they were going to be.
With Case Keenum.
They were. Well, and this year, you know, this year was going to be a Super Bowl year for them. And I think they thought, you know, okay, you know, we're going to bring in this quarterback and he's going to be the difference, the only piece we're missing. And, you know, it's not so fast, my friend. It's the same problem with quarterbacks. The same dilemma we have talked about this whole time for the last 3-4 years with Marcus. You know, they are so important to your future. They just literally mean everything to the franchise. And, you know, if you have one that you're not quite sure you can win the Super Bowl with, but you can get to the playoffs with, is that does that satisfy the, you know, the home field, the fans? Or do you want to go for the guy that's going to win a Super Bowl for you? And the guy that's going to win a Super Bowl for you may be out there someplace. You may be able to draft him. But all I can say is a lot of people have tried. A lot of people have failed. I mean, your chances of hitting on that are not very high. So you get all these teams, and you can go through and name, you know, you can go from Tampa's to Jacksonville's to Carolinas to Atlantas to across the board of people that, you know, we're supposed to be able to line up and get you to a few Super Bowls and win a couple.
Well, let me ask you this. The quarterback carousel this year, of all the teams that changed quarterbacks, that let's go through them. Cousins in Minnesota, better or worse than they thought they were going to be?
Oh, worse. Much worse.
Keenum in Denver, better or worse than they thought they were going to be?
I would think worse.
Bortles in Jacksonville signs the extension.
Yeah.
He's on the bench.
Not even playing.
See ya. Alex Smith in Washington.
Hurt.
Now, in Alex's defense, he broke his leg, and they were in first place when he got hurt. But, I mean, just talking to you, a football guy, forget the stats and the fantasy people and the TV games. As a football guy, you would easily take Alex out of that group of quarterbacks, right?
Alex. He was. I do. But he was not playing as well in Washington as he was in Kansas City.
So, I mean, even there, you know, Washington is not in a better place today because they made that move. And that's where I'm looking at this right now. And I'm, you know, to me, Marcus is in a class right now with Dak and Wentz and a lot of these guys.
By the way, Wentz has falling off the turnip truck too.
Oh, he was Mahomes last year.
I mean,
he was the guy like Mahomes.
Yeah,
whoever. That's why with Mahomes, I look at Mahomes right now and I'm like, you know, don't get too excited about Mahomes yet, Jared, because he's got great wide receivers and an offensive coach. and don't get too excited, because Wentz was doing some crazy things last year that we were like, oh, my God, did you see the play Wentz made? And now Wentz, what is he?
Pretty average.
So, to me, like, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Rivers, Wilson, Luck, Big Ben, and Matt Ryan, those guys, you could not get those guys from their teams. Like, the Seattle Seahawks, you could offer any combination of players and picks off the Titans. If you called them and offered your first-round pick, Adoree Jackson, Corey Davis, and a first-round pick next year for Russell Wilson, they would still say no. Like, you can't get Russell Wilson. And so my question is, if you can't get one of those guys, is it really worth it in 2 years to give up on Mariota and try to get Matt Stafford? Like, is it really worth that?
Well,
when you see what Cousins...
Here's the difference in my mind. Marcus is in his fourth year. Wilson's in his seventh, I think. Last night they put up the stat. He's going to be the fastest quarterback to the highest wins during those 7 years of anybody in the history of the NFL. More than Brady, more than Rodgers, more than Montana, more than anybody you want to talk about. So I'm not sure you can compare the two. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, and I'm just throwing this out. I don't know if this is true or not. By Wilson's fourth year in the league, he'd already won a Super Bowl.
Well, but that's my point, though. You can't get Russell Wilson.
I know, but you can see why he is that valuable.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going through my list again. Brady, Breeze, Rivers, Rodgers, Wilson, Luck, Big Ben, Matt Ryan. I don't have Mahomes on this list. I don't have Goff on this list. You know why I don't have those guys on that list? Because Goff, to me, has not done what Phillip Rivers has done. Or cannot be – like, if they're going to play Kansas City tomorrow night. It sounds like both Melvin Gordon and Eklund, the running back, are both going to be out.
That'll be tough.
They still have a chance, though, because of Phillip.
Sure.
You know, Phillip is that whole organization, it feels like. They change coaches. They change cities. The one constant is Phillip. Luck, the same way. Luck may be the MVP of the league, because we saw Indianapolis last year without Andrew Luck, and now we're seeing Indianapolis this year with Andrew Luck. My thing is, though, you can't get those guys. Cousins is available for Minnesota or anybody else to sign in the offseason for a reason that none of these guys would ever be available to Minnesota.
Right. I mean, I there's no doubt.
So if I can't get a quarterback off this list, why would I, you know, give up on Mariota in a couple of years and then have to get a quarterback off the list like Matthew Stafford or Andy Dalton?
Yeah, you would go draft another one. You would start all over.
So now Taylor Lewan's career is gone, and Adoree Jackson. All that.
But if you hit on Russell Wilson like they did.
Or Patrick Mahomes.
In the third round, you know, then, you know, you got to steal. So that's the
dice you want to roll. Oh, that's the crapshoot you want to take.
That's exactly right.
Marcus has been too good to take a crapshoot.
And it's only going to cost you several, you know, $100 million.
I'm just saying, Marcus has been better than a crapshoot. Like, so if your options are Marcus drafting a quarterback or signing a quarterback.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you don't know who's going to be there in the draft. I mean, what if you could get, I don't know, Tua, you know, in a year? Tua's sitting there.
Yeah, but Marcus is not bad enough for you to be bad enough to be able to get Tua.
Well, I don't know.
He's a 9-win quarterback every year.
But he gets hurt. What if he gets hurt the opener? Gets an ACL, misses the whole year.
Then you got a shot to get Tua.
Yeah, I mean, there's a thousand things that could happen.
But that's different. Like, I mean, if any of these guys, Rodgers? If Rodgers gets hurt, they may be 0-16.
Right.
So, but, like, you wouldn't give up on Rodgers. And my whole point is everybody acts like their quarterback, if your quarterback's not one of these guys, if you're a whatever fan, I mean, I think Mariota's the perfect example. You act like after every time they lose, he's a bum, he's got a pop gun arm, he can't play, he can't do this, he can't. You, the fans, act like that after every game. And what I'm trying to say is that it's not easy to go get another quarterback. That Minnesota team is a perfect team, minus a quarterback. That's why all they need is a quarterback. They're going to win the Super Bowl with that defense and those receivers. And they pay $84 million.
And this you can see why people trade up, give away, you know, next year's draft to get up high enough to get the quarterback they think is that guy. I mean, that's the value of the quarterbacks. I mean, they are literally, you know, gold. And every franchise knows it. And it's no different for any franchise. I mean, they're just that important. And the question is this. It's not the question of is he – and forget we're talking about Marcus. It's not a question of is your quarterback good enough to win a Super Bowl. The question is, are you going to be satisfied? Will you be a success if you are fighting every year to get to 8 or 9 wins? And if you can say, yeah, I'm fine with that, fine. You know, you're go ahead. But if you're not, if you're one of those guys that says, no, I want to find somebody that's going to win it all for me, then you roll the dice again.
So what does that say about a guy like Phillip Rivers, who's had a lot of 7-win seasons and has had some 13-win seasons?
And how many championships? And how many championships?
Zero.
There you go.
But you know Rivers is a great quarterback.
He's okay, yeah.
No, I mean, you were crying like a baby before they played the Chargers.
I love Phillip Rivers. I love him. I mean, I like him on a lot of levels. But, for example, has he had a Hall of Fame career?
I think he has.
Never win a championship?
I think he has had a Hall of Fame career.
Oh, I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't put him in there.
All the stats are like first ballot for him.
No, I don't think so. First ballot? Definitely not first ballot.
Oh, no. I think Rivers is a legit, Hall of Famer.
No.
I don't even think it's a question mark.
I think he'll be one of those guys that
it's like Frank Gore.
Struggle along.
Frank Gore, like I was watching the Patriots-Dolphins game the other day. Frank Gore has been in the league for how long? You know, he's broken all these records or is, you know, fifth or fourth or whatever in all-time rushing. And Frank Gore's always been a good player. But when was Frank Gore like the best running back in the NFL?
When was he?
Yeah, I never remember him being like.
When he was younger, San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, he was always good, but he was never like the best. He was never like LaDainian Tomlinson or he's never like any of those guys.
I don't know.
Now, he's put it together for the career, and that's what Rivers is.
The thing that Frank did his whole career is he went out every year and gave you the 12, 13, 1,400 yards every year.
Right.
Now, he never made it to 2,000, but he never fell off to, you know, 400 either. I mean, he was just one of those guys that, and even now, you know, you look at him, the numbers he puts up, and you think, how can that guy at that, you know, at 35 or whatever he is, still put up those numbers? But he does for whatever reason.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Ooh, they're mad at me, Floyd.
Who's mad?
Which is funny because they're mad at me and they're not mad at you and they should be equally mad at you, but they're not. But they're mad at me. We'll get into that coming up next. And boy, are they mad. Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena. Preds fans, do not miss Smashville Live, the exclusive Predators player show, Wednesday from 7 to 8, 51 North Tap Room in Nashville, featuring Braden Gall, Hal Gill, and Callie Yarncroke and Kevin Fiala. The first 50 people will have the opportunity to get an autograph or picture of the Preds players. Tweet us questions you want answered by the players at 1025 The Game using the hashtag Smashville Live. Smashville Live is brought to you by Decorating Den Interiors, Red Spirits and Wine, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Prices Collision Centers. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game. Oh, they're mad at me, Floyd.
Who's that?
Vanderbilt fans. They are mad at me today. Now, I think that Vanderbilt fans should be most mad at us for the fact that we hardly ever talk about them ever. And that's rightfully so, because I look at all the data in live time as to who listens to the show and who doesn't. And every time we talk Vandy, it goes down. So maybe I am making a mistake in even addressing this on the air. But Vanderbilt hires a new athletic director today. Does not even matter what his name is. The guy has absolutely zero college athletic experience. Zero. And people looked at that when I was tweeting about it or talking about it earlier, and they were like, well, who cares if he played or didn't play? I'm like, I'm not saying that you have to play. I'm just saying that he didn't even play. So it's not like his he's never worked in a college before, but at least he was a four-year letter winner in track at Stanford, you know, so at least he knows what it's like to be a student. He doesn't even have that. He has none of that. Former president of the G League in the NBA. Raise your hand if you've ever watched a G League game. So it's kind of like a Vanderbilt game, you know. No one's watching it. No one cares. No one's going.
Same background.
And so the Vanderbilt fans on Twitter are all been out of shape right now because we ripped them because it's embarrassing. And as I said earlier, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, go root for another team now because you're never going to get any better. You're going to be the same you always are, and that's apparently what they want. Well, Anchor of Gold, which is a blog, a Vanderbilt blog, that I'm sure nobody reads because it's Vanderbilt. And they tweeted me and because I talked about the guy has no experience. And they said, well, you'd be totally on board with whatever generic sitting AD. And my thing is, how can you compete in the SEC when you hired somebody that knows nothing about the SEC? And they responded, and they got back and said, running an SEC athletic department and dealing with college donors is so much different from running a professional sports league and dealing with corporate sponsors. Got it. Yes. I get the sarcasm in the tone there, but yes. Like, I know you're being sarcastic, but yes, it is very different. When Sprite comes to you and says, we want to sponsor your league, here's $100 million, Sprite doesn't care if you win. Sprite doesn't care. Coca-Cola doesn't care. Those companies, they don't care. But if I own Stillman Tech and I just took $100 million out of my own pocket, built you a weight room, and you go 4-8, I got a problem. Because that's my team out there on the field because I just built them a new weight room. And that's a very different relationship. And somebody said, well, Vanderbilt needs fresh ideas. They need to... Why can't they get fresh ideas from Georgia? Why can't they get fresh ideas from Auburn? Why can't they get fresh ideas from somebody who has at least spent a day in Tuscaloosa?
What do they need fresh ideas? They haven't even used the old ones yet. Let's use the old ones and then search fresh ones. I mean, you have used no ideas.
It's almost like Vanderbilt said, let's hire the least qualified candidate possible.
I don't understand how they, you know what? It's one thing to, at a point in time, decide that you don't want to compete in the SEC. I understand that. You know, you're Rice. You're an academic school, and you don't think you can compete, so you want to remain. I understand that. Appreciate it. Respect it. But you can't do it both ways. You can't do that, not put any money into the sports program, and then turn around and want to talk about being a sport, you know, an athletic department. I mean, a big-time SEC athletic department. I mean, it's just looked down upon. And I don't know anything about it, but, I mean, the other people in the SEC just have to laugh about this.
Oh my
when
God!
They see this.
Greg Byrne, the athletic director at Alabama. You have Nick Saban and Vanderbilt
just
hired
him. Are you kidding me?
And the other thing, I would argue that, you know, if you had hired the president of the NBA, you know, I'd be sitting there saying, I mean, okay, like the NBA is very different from the SEC, but I mean, this is the G League. Again, raise your hand if you've watched a G League game.
You would have taken the president of a conference, even the president of a franchise, right? But the president of the G League.
Well, you know what I love, too, about Vanderbilt fans and how they can't understand how stupid this move is? Do you know who does things like this? Do you remember a couple years ago the Cleveland Browns said, hey, we're going to all analytics? So Sashi Brown and Paul DePodesta, a baseball general manager, was put into the front office. Paul DePodesta, people remember Jonah Hill, or they remember Brad Pitt as Billy Bean in Moneyball. Jonah Hill's character was based off of DePodesta.
Right.
So DePodesta is in the Browns front office. 0-16 does not happen on accident in the NFL.
You got to try.
I mean, you've been a part of how many teams in your career?
Bad teams. And we couldn't get to 0-16.
Could not do it.
You got to work to get this 0-16.
That's how you get to 0-16 is you hire a guy who's literally in his bio. Like, literally in his bio says he worked for Wasserman Media Group's golf division.
As close as you can get to sports.
I mean, how is this guy going to be able to help Derek Mason recruit football
players?
Well,
can you – yeah, I mean, he can't do that. But can you imagine him sitting in the first meeting of ADs with all these – the University of Alabama and Georgia and Auburn and LA, all those ADs sitting around. And the commissioner's up there talking to you, and here you sit. And you think, you know what? I'm the dumbest guy in this whole room.
Well, you know he doesn't think that.
I got no clue what they're talking about. What could they be talking about?
This is so amazing. And then this Vanderbilt blog fires back. The issues you bring up are easily solved by hiring associate ADs who have worked in college athletic departments before. Okay? Do we think they're going to do that? Do we think they're going to go take the top deputy AD? Josh Hurd is the deputy AD at Villanova. Josh Hurd would have been an excellent athletic director at Vanderbilt. Do you think they'll go to Josh Hurd at Villanova and say, what are you making, Josh Hurd? $200,000? Here's $400,000. You're the deputy AD at Vanderbilt. What's his name? Goofball. He's going to go off and corporate sponsor that, and you hire coaches and you do this and you do. Do you think they're going to do that?
No.
Of course not. Vanderbilt fans are like, Vandy's supposed to be a smart school. I wish Vanderbilt fans realized how dumb Vanderbilt looks today. The guy might work out. I don't know. I've never met him, never heard of him, never whatever. But just disgraceful to have a guy with zero experience to your most important position.
This is like searching for the quarterback, you know. I mean, to a lesser degree.
But drafting a kicker.
Yeah, but if he works out, it'll be by sheer luck. You know, there won't be any consideration put into it. And if he doesn't work, then you just find another one someplace.
We need fresh ideas, Jared.
Fresh ideas.
Fresh ideas. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Yesterday, Floyd accused me of something that I think Marcus may have sided with Floyd on.
Uh-oh.
That's what I thought, too. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell you about Hiller. I absolutely love being a member of the Happy Hiller Club at my new home. Hiller comes out to the house. They take great care of it. And I know, unlike the other guys in town who might be offering a cheaper membership, I know Hiller's not going to slam me on the back end. Hiller's got a great reputation. In fact, when I come out here to Bridgestone Arena, I look out on that ice and you see the Happy Hiller logo right there. And you also see the Hiller Happy Cam, which is probably one of my favorite moments of the game. That's why I love Hiller so much, and I love being a member of their club, is they take great care of me. They take great care of my house, more importantly. We know how big of an investment that is. That's why you need to trust Hiller. They'll take great care of your house, and also they will charge you fairly for the services, unlike some other guys who maybe charge you a lot more. That's why I'm so glad I'm a member of the Happy Hiller Club, and you can be too today. That's Hiller. Call the Happy Face Truck today. Jared and the GM.